Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with How Stuff Works, and I love all things tech. And welcome to another classic episode of Tech Stuff. In this episode, we talk about the concept of anonymity. Anonymity is one of those things that the internet was kind of built off of, and there's been sort of a love-hate relationship between anonymity and the need to have some form of accountability on the internet. This episode originally published on August 17th, 2011. It's one of the true classics of Tech Stuff. Chris Paulette and I have this conversation. I hope you enjoy this discussion about anonymity. So we're going to talk today about anonymity and the web and its relationship with one another, and how things have been changing over time. And this also ties a lot into privacy in the web. In fact, these topics are all very closely related. But it's been in the news a lot recently, and by recently I mean the summer of 2011, because of a couple of different things. First of all, a couple of years ago you had or maybe it was only a year ago, but you had Mark Zuckerberg say that the whole notion of privacy was falling out of social norms, meaning that people today don't value privacy or don't think of privacy as something that's important the way that generations earlier had thought of the subject. So that actually kind of explains a lot about certain things that Facebook has done over the past, where it's all about sharing information, particularly information about yourself and the things you like to do and the places you like to go. And then, the argument I think someone at Facebook would make is that the more you share, the more you're going to get out of that service. So if you do not share a lot, you won't really benefit from the service the way you do if you are someone who shares, lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. Although even that, anyone could tell you, if they have a friend who shares absolutely everything, that can get old too.
Yes. Yes, it can.
Sorry. Look, I thought it was a particularly interesting bowl of oatmeal, so I shared it.
Well, it's always nice to share oatmeal.
I don't know, but all right. Anyway, we're getting off track. I just go back to that oatmeal party where Josh Clark did that. Well, anyway, so Facebook's approach is saying that anonymity and privacy are really kind of those are old ideas that
yes.
that we're slowly seeing phase out. And then the other thing that kind of brought this into attention was Google launching Google Plus, and we did that episode on Google Plus, that epic Google Plus episode. One thing we didn't really talk about that much was that Google Plus, you know, in order to have a Google Plus profile, you have to have a Google profile. In order to have a Google profile, it has to be a Google profile that's public because they eliminated all private Google profiles.
Yes.
And you had to have a name associated with that profile, and it didn't have to necessarily be your legal name, but it did have to be the name that you go by the most frequently. Mm-hmm. And so you'd have to put a first name and a last name and make it a legitimate name. If it were something that was clearly a handle or a nickname or just unusual or had some odd characters in it, Alex from Clockwork Orange, odd characters, but like symbols, like @ symbols or hashtags or things like that, that Google would flag it. And then Google would suspend your Google Plus account.
It is a darn good thing that Prince decided to go back to being Prince.
Yeah, well, the web's over, if you ask Prince. So it's immaterial for this discussion.
Fair point.
Yeah. Irregardless.
Oh. Supposedly.
Supposedly. Anyway, if you put these symbols into your name or you had some other weird name going in there, Google might flag your account and suspend it. They then later on kind of adjusted that a little bit where they would give you a warning saying you need to go into your Google profile and put in your actual name. And you could add in nicknames and stuff in another field called other names, mm-hmm. but that the name associated with your profile would be your real name. Now, that brought up some questions among a lot of users, and it ranges through the whole spectrum. You've got the spectrum that includes people who are, you know, their argument is that, hey, I have made a name for myself under this persona.
It's right? Like a brand.
Yeah, a brand. Exactly. It's like a brand. So the example I used in my blog post was Dr. Kiki mm-hmm. of Dr. Yeah. Kiki Science. She's a scientist, and she is known as Dr. Kiki. Her first name is, I believe, Kirsten. But you know, that's not what everyone knows her as. So she created a Google profile using Dr. Kiki. And, yes, Kirsten Sanford. That's her name. Dr. Kirsten Sanford. So everyone knows her as Dr. Kiki. So that's what she created her Google profile mm-hmm. as. But her Google Plus profile was suspended because it violated the rules that Google had set up. And Google's argument was that he wanted to create a social network that would let people connect with folks they know and folks they know of mm-hmm. Easily. And that if you start putting in handles and things and you're cloaking your identity, that's kind of antithetical to what Google meant Google Plus to be.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that's not the way people use the web.
Yeah.
You know, people use the web in all sorts of different ways. There are people who will use their own names as their handles. For example, I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I use my own name as my handle pretty much everywhere. And the reason for that is so that I keep myself accountable for the things I say.
Right.
It's a personal choice. I don't judge anyone else who goes by a handle. I totally understand that, and I think anonymity is an interesting and important issue. I just, for myself, choose to use my own name because, one, that's kind of my brand. It's mm-hmm. my name mm-hmm. at this point. If I had gone by some other weird, wacky name, I'd probably be using that everywhere. But two, you know, it's just, again, it just keeps me responsible for the things I say. I'm less likely to say something really offensive or outrageous or just pig-headed because it's attached to my name and I'm not going to go onto some forum and tell off the person who posted above me that they're a complete jerk and an idiot and, you know, I'm less likely to do that. I still do it. I just don't do it as frequently as I would if I had, Hamsterman73 was my handle. And no one knew that that was me.
But we all know now.
Well, I don't post under that handle anymore. You won't find those YouTube comments coming from me anymore, Buster.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You need to... It's weird to put this in perspective. So, to some degree, I think online, Mark Zuckerberg has a point. We've gotten to the point where we're interested in social networking. We have business profiles on LinkedIn.com. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and all the others for our social fun, our informal networking, in some cases, business networking too.
Yep.
It's hard. It's when you've gotten used to the idea of the right to privacy, which, here in the United States, we have a certain expectation of personal privacy. That's not necessarily true everywhere else in the world. But when you've established all these accounts and you say, no, I just want to be online and have my, my 10 family members and 60 friends, and that's it. That's all I want on my account. I don't want everyone else to read my posts. Why are you making them available? The thing is, Mark has a point, because if you do have that right to privacy, but when you join Facebook, the point is to be social. And I'm one of those people that would prefer to socialize with people I know in real life and not, everybody online.
Right.
That I really don't know that well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I join Facebook and I don't have, I have to play the rules of Facebook. And if Facebook says on Facebook,
yeah,
you don't have the right to privacy to the same extent. I mean, you're everyone can see you. Now, you don't have to publish your stuff so that the world can read every single post you write, but everybody's going to be able to see that you have a profile, and that's just the way it is on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, I see the annoyance, but I don't see why people get so very angry, simply because you're agreeing to the terms of service for joining those accounts. And that's one of the reasons I wasn't anxious to join Google Plus right away, was because I realized that I was going to have to make my profile public.
Right.
And everybody was going to be able to see it was me. And you're not allowed to use your nickname, because, not only is that against the rules, but it also shows up against your account. So if I wanted to be Larry the Wonder Beagle, then all right. My email on Gmail comes from Larry the Wonder Beagle. And I don't want to do that, because I keep in touch with
other people. You would essentially have to create a second Gmail account just for your Google Plus profile in that case, which you could theoretically do, although you're, again, kind of skirting the rules there.
Yeah. So, that's...
And it would be annoying, because you'd always have to log out of one account and log into the other whenever you wanted to check your quote-unquote real email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's irritating.
It's a pain in the neck, but the thing is... this has nothing to do with the actual law. This has to do with the terms of service of the website you're using.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating.
Hey guys, it's Jonathan. Back in 2018, I just wanted to interrupt here to say we need to have a quick break to thank our sponsor. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there are some people who agree, like, all right, I get it. If I want to be on blah, 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 I have to play by their rules.
Yeah.
I think the fear is that the approach to eliminating anonymity entirely, they're worried about that being more of a broad approach to the web in general.
Yeah, and I worry about that too.
Yeah,
so that's something that I'm not interested in.
Because that would be, let's say that Twitter made that same decision, that your Twitter handle had to be your first and last name.
Right.
Now, for me, it happens to be that. But except a shortened version of my first name, because Jonathan Strickland does not fit as a full Twitter handle. So, Johnny Cakes, that's me. No, it's not. It's not really me. Anyway, so...
Cake.
I prefer pie. But anyway, if Twitter did that, then, you know, you think about that. We've seen Twitter being used in things like political revolutions, you know, political unrest, turmoil, riots, that kind of thing, protests, situations where the people who are organizing it definitely would not want their identity shared with the general public.
Right.
Because it would put themselves in danger.
Yeah.
Right.
In literal physical danger.
And it would help prevent them from doing the political activist work they were trying to do. Like, if they were to post something and it was traced back to their identity, they could be, you know, theoretically by an oppressive government brought in. And then not only do you have a person brought in by the same government they were trying to protest, but whatever activities they were trying to organize have been, somewhat, well, sidetracked, have been sabotaged.
Yeah, compromised.
Exactly, because you no longer have that anonymity. And so there is a definite place for anonymity on the web. So let's talk about some of the different arguments that people make for and against anonymity.
Okay.
So we've already covered one of them, which is that, you know, if you want to be able to connect with people, you need to be able to know who to look for. And it's kind of hard to look for someone if everyone's using up fake names everywhere.
Right.
So that's one argument against anonymity. Another argument against anonymity is that making someone use their own name, kind of the way I was explaining my own personal approach, keeps them somewhat accountable for their words and actions.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, the idea is that if you make sure that people cannot be anonymous, you really cut back on trolling.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what we get down to. So, can you imagine what a place YouTube would be if everyone had to use their real names and, like, there was a way of really linking an account to an actual person as opposed to just a handle? Because, I mean, you look at some of the quotes on YouTube, and they are some of the meanest, nastiest, mean-spirited stuff I've ever read anywhere.
Yeah.
And just on a typical video, even, you know, a video that has no objectionable material in it, it's just silly, or it's even, you know, even if it's boring, sometimes you get the nastiest responses. And so the argument is that, well, if you made sure that people could not be anonymous, couldn't hide behind a pseudonym or a handle,
that they would be nicer. And that's probably true for most people. They would probably be nicer. I don't think that it would magically make the web a shiny, happy place, and no one would ever disagree with anyone, and you would never have anyone call anyone else a hurtful name or anything. That's naive. That would still happen. But I think it would cut down quite a bit on the trollish behavior, but I don't know that the trade-off is worth that.
Right.
You know? So anyway, those are two arguments against anonymity. But one that we've mentioned already is, what if you want to be able to protest something or to bring attention to an issue that could get yourself in trouble just because of your circumstances?
That's true. And there's a difference too. I mean, we could take specifically the example of Google itself. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you've got Google Plus, which is a social networking service that is optional for you to join. If you want to join the service, currently as of the time we're recording this, you have to use your real name.
Yep.
And that's up to you. You do not have to join Google Plus.
Right.
Then you have Google Street View, on the other hand.
Yes.
And this, again, long-term listeners will know that we've talked about this before on previous podcasts. So Google Street View, the idea being that Google is sending cars on, driving around neighborhoods, driving on city streets. And basically they take panoramic photos of the street. So you can see, I personally find it really helpful when I'm looking for a business that I've never seen before. I'm trying to get there.
Yeah.
And you can go look it up online and see a picture of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the green building.
And you can pan around and see what the surrounding buildings are. And you get an idea for landmarks.
Yes. It's really a neat idea. And, the concept on the table right there is a neat idea.
Yeah, especially when you apply to things like, I want to take a virtual tour of a city I've never been in. And you could literally do that. If you have a fast enough connection to the internet and a good processor, then yeah, you can navigate through Street View and go down streets in cities just as if you were there. Without the, you could stroll down New York City at night without worrying about getting mugged. So I don't think it would be at night.
Well, no, but it would be kind of hard to see. But and there are many funny stories about Google Street View, the cameras getting knocked off by low bridges and people doing crazy things.
People hearing that Street View was coming through, so they arrange for some sort of bizarre demonstration or
sword
performance
fights,
art.
Yeah. Mooning, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, people complain that they're taking photos of their houses without any permission.
It's an invasion of privacy is the argument.
Yes. And so there you go. You suddenly your house is there and
you can't opt out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, plus there are many, many phone directories with information in there. They scrape phone books and, they're of course legitimate phone books as well, phone directories online. So if you put two and two together, you can figure out where somebody lives and what their house looks like.
Yeah. Now, if you've managed to stay unlisted and everything, then there may not be a connection between you, the person, and your wherever you call home.
Yeah. So,
but for the majority of people, I think, with a little snooping, you could easily figure out where someone lives. And then through Street View, you could actually see their house, which, you can argue, well, that lets potential thieves case the joint without ever leaving wherever they are. They can look it up and then get a real good view, at least at the front of the house, maybe even the back of the house, depending on how your neighborhood's laid out.
Well, and you could use a satellite view in one of the mapping services or in Google Earth to get an idea of the lay of the land.
So it's one of those arguments where you make, well, this can make us less safe. And that is a good argument for anonymity, saying that, well, I understand that there are uses for this technology and that that it can come in handy and it's a fun technology, but there are also some serious consequences or there can be serious consequences to enabling this technology and immediately opting everyone in. It's not like you had a choice as far as Street View is concerned. I mean, there are some very famous cases of towns that essentially told Google to go Google themselves and get the heck out of Dodge, although Dodge was not one of those towns.
Well, yeah, and some gated communities, places like that. And, of course, in Europe, there have been many cases in different countries in Europe where You know, they've taken Google to court and said, you do not have the authority to do this. You know, because it violates our country's privacy laws.
Right.
So, you know, it's difficult, you know, but there is a definite difference in, you know, things like signing up to be unlisted from your phone company and deciding to opt out of social networking services versus, you know, what other people post about you online. And that's another thing too. You can't control what other people do.
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
Uh-huh.
That's why I brought a crown in today.
Yeah, he did. There's a crown
sitting
on the table.
It's sitting right on the table right between us right now.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I've had pictures tagged on Facebook and, you know, with my name on them. And I'm kind of at the point where I try to avoid having that done, and I go and remove the tags simply because I'm less comfortable being public than other people.
And there are,
but I can't
usually
control that.
I think there's
as well.
I'm pretty sure actually that Facebook has in its privacy settings a setting where you can go in and make sure that if someone wants to tag you in a photo that requests your permission before the tag goes public. So you can actually tweak that setting. Although, like all Facebook privacy settings, it's not the easiest thing to find. You have to kind of do a little digging. Google Plus is kind of the same way in a sense. It's a lot easier to control who sees your information when you use Google Plus because you can just at every stage – you can determine which bits of information are visible to others and which ones aren't. And you can specify, you know, which users can see it, like a circle or just a specific user. But even so, it's still a lot of stuff to wade through.
Hey guys, Jonathan, 2018, present day, looking back on the past. Before we conclude this discussion about anonymity, let's take another quick break to thank our sponsor. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another thing about another argument you can make against anonymity. We've already touched on this about the trolling, but if you really want to see, and I don't recommend you do this, but if you want to see what the power of anonymity, you can go to a community like 4chan.
Yes.
Now 4chan is, we've talked about it before. It's a message board that allows you to post things anonymously. You don't have to create an account. You can create a handle, and you can either use the same handle or you can use a different handle every time you log in if you want to. Actually, that would probably make you less likely to be traced because you're using a different one. You're not creating an identity for yourself.
Is there a spout too or just a handle?
It's just a handle. It's actually two handles. I'm a sugar dish. The idea here, but 4chan, is that you can share stuff without ever having to link it back to yourself personally. And they actually have a couple of not everything on 4chan is of objectionable material, right?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff on 4chan that's all about, a lot of it's Japanese pop culture stuff, especially manga and anime. But there are some channels in 4chan, the random channel being the most famous channel, where anything goes, and people are using anonymous handles in order to post stuff, usually in order to get a reaction out of other people,
mm-hmm.
Either to make them laugh or to shock them or to disgust them or whatever. But it's kind of about as close to chaos as I can think of, really. Not that it's not interesting or entertaining at times, but it's often very disturbing to look at. So you look at that and you say, well, if maintaining anonymity on the web means getting this kind of reaction where you get the sort of people trying to do whatever they can to get a reaction out of other folks, that's an easy thing to point at and say, well, this is why we don't want anonymity,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it's misleading. Because it's stating that just because you want to be anonymous, you want to cause trouble. And I think I don't think you can draw that conclusion. But I think that that's something that a lot of people who argue against anonymity, they will point their finger at places like, or sites like 4chan and say, well, that's why. And I think that's short-sighted.
Yeah.
I mean, I just point to the political unrest in places like Egypt or, Libya or Iran or Iraq, where, we've seen social networking come into play and help people and say, well, this is where anonymity is really important. And without it, it's possible that these people would have suffered more. It's possible that the world would have remained ignorant of what was going on for the most part, because we would just get mainstream media coverage of whatever those events were. And either, you can be cynical. You could say that mainstream media just doesn't do a good job of covering that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's an argument for a different podcast. Or you could say that mainstream media does an okay job. We just have become very good at ignoring it, which is cynical in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a combination of the two. I'm not arguing any of those things. I'm just saying that without that, if we had had the social media, without the social media, all we'd have is the mainstream media approach. With the social media, it tends to put a, even when it's anonymous, it puts a personal spin on these stories that tend to hook us as human beings into them.
Yeah, and I think it's also important for us to touch on enforcement.
Yeah.
Because, although Facebook and Google Plus are currently requiring people to use, a real name or at least the name they go by, nobody's requiring a birth certificate. And even then, a birth certificate could be faked. Let's not get into that. But you could doctor a document and send it in to Facebook and say, hey, see, that's my real name. So nobody's actually doing that. And I know people who don't use their real names on Facebook. And for a while there, they were removing people. I assume they probably still are.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it being a big thing a while back, a few months ago, maybe a year ago. And I thought, my friend is going to have his profile removed. It never happened. When it's clearly, he goes by a band name you know, the name of a character created for the for a band that he's in, and,
gotcha.
And it's like, so like
it's
the Ramones,
a stage persona.
It's a stage persona, and yeah. It's clearly not a name. Well,
which
it's
you
not
could
clearly,
you could do that for a fan page,
yeah.
without any issue at all. But for a personal page, that does tend to get a little like if people notice, they get. Or if the company that is providing the service notices, you might have some yeah. issues.
But some people with particularly unusual names, I've been reading in, about Google Plus, have had their profiles removed, and actually, it's their real name.
Yeah, yeah, that's happened. I mean, there's some fun names out there. I'm reminded
yes.
of my my sister's vet, Dr. Stacy Stacy.
Seriously?
Yep, Stacy Stacy.
Interesting.
Yep. She says everything twice. Gotta check the papers. She's at any rate, yeah, there are issues where we see people who are legitimately following the rules being punished for not following the rules just because they happen to have an unusual name.
Yeah.
You're going to find that pretty much in any kind of environment where they are requiring people to use real names just because, you know, we're human beings. We come up with some interesting combinations for names. Sometimes we marry into them. Sometimes we just luck out and are born into them. Sometimes our parents have a cruel sense of humor. Moxie, crime fighter, being a good one.
Yeah.
Penn Gillette's daughter, Moxie, crime fighter Gillette. That's true. I'm not making
I'm
that
not,
up.
I don't have any doubts. And I remember some of the countries around the
Zappa.
World. Moon Unit.
Moon Unit Zappa. That's what I meant. Yes.
Yeah, they, yeah, there were, I remember seeing legislation in several countries where people were trying to name their kids things like Superman. Like, wow, really? But yeah, I mean, and it's very difficult to enforce that without requiring any kind of proof. And so they're sort of going through and going, well, I'm that doesn't seem like a real name.
Yeah, it's
so I'll go ahead.
A lot of guesswork.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that Google Plus, Google seems like one of those companies that's really eager to please. And I think there are cases like this is also an issue Google Plus runs into when it opens up a private beta and there's a disproportionate number of people in the private beta who are public personas.
Yeah, that's
especially
true.
In the tech world, because you have people who are known by their brand. So Google Plus kind of brought it in on themselves in this case, but at least they're learning this lesson very early on before it. At the recording of this podcast, they haven't gone. They haven't opened up the social network yet. So hopefully this stuff will get ironed out so that if you do want to use a nickname or a brand or something as your persona, you should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
There's been discussion at Google about finding ways of making that happen, although it may mean that you have to create a sort of profile that's not the same as a personal profile.
Yeah.
Kind of like on Facebook where you have fan pages or group pages and then you have your personal pages.
Mm-hmm.
I think
picture pages.
Yes. I think the concern really I have is not whether or not you can be anonymous on Google Plus or on Facebook or whatever. My concern is that you start to see the generation of movers and shakers in the web space, like the Mark Zuckerbergs of the web, who say that they think that privacy is no longer a social norm. That concerns me.
Yeah.
And the
I agree.
Reason that concerns me is because that means that if that attitude becomes prevalent throughout the web, then anonymity will become a thing of the past in all but the smallest niche communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where I'm concerned, not so much in the specific cases of Google and Facebook, but in a more general web-wide case. And will we see anonymity get stamped out? I don't think that'll ever happen across the board, but I can certainly see privacy and anonymity taking kind of a diminished role in the future.
Well, I personally like to retain a great deal of my privacy. But at the same time, I do think that anonymity can breed a sense of recklessness when people are willing to say whatever they feel like they can get away with without any kinds of repercussion. And
yeah.
I don't particularly approve of that. But, you know, at the same time, too, I think, you know, the idea that we have all given up our privacy and this is just the way things are going to be also encourages people to share too much information. You know, hey, I'm going out of town for 2 weeks. Look at this. Here are pictures of my trip. And,
yeah.
You know, and then two posts later, oh, the police just called. Someone broke into my house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go, well, you know, it's all public anyway, who cares? Then, you know, I don't think there's as much to discourage you from oversharing things that you shouldn't share.
Well, yeah, and the internet has made it so easy to share things as soon as you think of them that that's also an issue.
Like the Google Plus setting for your phone that instantly uploads any photo you take?
Yes, but you don't have to have those shared publicly.
You don't have to. But if you don't
if
turn
you don't
it
pay
off,
attention, yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is getting easier and easier for you to upload your thoughts immediately to the internet mm-hmm. without filtering them first, which is why whenever I make my social network, I'm going to have a little window pop up that says, do you really want to post that? And when you click yes, it says, do you really, really want to post that? And then when you click yes, it posts. And then at the very end, it says, if this is stupid, it's not because I didn't tell him so.
Well, that's why I started my own antisocial network, and I am the only member.
Right.
And that is unlikely to change.
Right. It's just
it's just me.
It's just a black web page. You go to the web page, there's nothing on it. It's just black.
Well, it saves me a lot of time because I don't have to check it very often.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still nothing there.
There is at the very bottom, if you scroll all the way down, and it's long, there's an under construction GIF at the very bottom. Yeah.
The guy with the shovel.
The guy with the shovel digging with the hard hat. Because we're going to bring GeoCities back one web page at a time.
And that is the classic episode of Tech Stuff about anonymity. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Big thanks to my original co-host, Chris Paulette, who I always enjoyed having conversations with on or off the microphone. If you guys have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, let me know. Send me an email. The address for the show is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or drop me a line on Facebook or Twitter. The handle there is techstuffhsw. Don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.